We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In this corner, from Reading, Pennsylvania, he's smart, sassy, and definitely not a jinx.
Thanks a lot, Steinmetz.
It's Matt Steinmetz.
Yeah.
And in this corner, straight out of the Yoon,
the chocolate Thor,
he's a certified stud and definitely isn't still rocking a 92 caddy. It's Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah.
Now, it's time for Steinmetz and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, good morning, everybody. What is happening? Matt Steinmetz alongside you, and the Guru's got the day off today. He's got some family stuff to take care of, but it's all good. He'll be back tomorrow.
Whose family?
His family, okay. As far as I know. And that's Ray Ratto. That's the voice of Ray Ratto. Oh, I mean, longtime columnist for the Chronicle.
Yeah. Get to the point. Let's go. People are busy.
He helped bring the demise to the National. Right? You were part of that.
I've killed a lot of things.
You were part of that. And
yes,
now he works for NBC Sports Bay Area.
If I could bring down a major American television network, I'll consider it the high point of my career.
Oh, Ray. I mean, you've been around here a while. I've been around here a while.
A while? The earth was still cooling when
are
I
you,
started.
Are you, where'd you grow up? Alameda?
Yep.
So you're one of those guys that never left the island?
No, I left for a while and then I went back.
There are a lot of those over there in Alameda. They think they have a secret over there and they want to keep it kind of to themselves.
There's no secret over there. It's built out like everything else.
How glorious was yesterday's parade, Ray? What was your favorite part of the parade yesterday?
The part that I missed, which was all of it.
No,
the parade's not for me.
What do you mean?
The parade belongs to players, belongs to coaches, it belongs to front office types, it belongs to fans. It even belongs to City of Oakland and Alameda County politicians. It's not for me. And anybody who had a good time, God love you. You should have a good time. Enjoy it. I don't do parades.
It's also for the media, Ray. It's for the media.
Any media member who thinks that a parade, A, is fun to cover, and B, a reward for them, should be fired immediately.
Right.
No, fired.
Right.
No, fired. Do you understand?
Right. Now,
terminated.
You know me.
Done.
You know me.
Never allowed to work again.
Sometimes, Ray,
live
they call
in a
me...
park with the squirrels. Do you not get my point here?
Ray, I'm not going to let you bring me down today. There have been people at times that say I'm a poor man's Ratto. But I'll tell you what, I had a great time at the parade. Great time at the parade.
Okay.
Got to interview Steph Curry, got to interview Klay Thompson.
Yeah, because you've never done that before.
Not for a while. I mean, I'm going to say glorious.
Oh, good for you.
Were you at last year's parade?
I've never been to a parade.
You weren't at any of the Giants parades?
None of the 49ers parades, none of the A's parades. I don't care what you believe. You asked me a question, I gave you an answer.
You were at any of the A's parades in the early 70s.
Nope.
You liar.
Call me that again, and I'll show you your spleen. No,
jeez, okay.
It's not that. That is, it doesn't work for me. And I don't begrudge anybody who loves that stuff. Love it to your heart's content. I mean, it's just, you know, there'll be a time when this ends and there aren't any parades for a while. But
And then you're probably going to be filled with regret that you didn't give one a try.
With any luck, I'll be dead. No, I don't do parades. Stop nagging me.
I had kind of fun, though, Ray.
No, for you.
Well,
did you have fun?
It was different. It was an experience.
Did you have fun?
I wouldn't say fun.
Oh, wait a minute. 2 minutes ago was glorious. Now you're not sure if it was even fun?
It was glorious for some.
Was it glorious for you?
At 3 o'clock, it turned
glorious.
So
when you were done.
Oh, man.
Well, no, I'm just asking you. I don't have to conform to America's sense of fun. That's all.
No, you don't. But
okay, that's all I'm saying.
What about just trying a new experience?
Don't want to.
All right.
It's like licking a frozen light pole. I know I've never experienced it. I wonder what it would be like, but I'm not going to do that.
888-957-9570. What did Ray miss? What was the best part of the parade that Ray Ratto missed? He wasn't there yesterday, so let's bring him some of the highlights. And
I really don't see a value in that.
Oh, no, news comes out of this too, Ray. There's free agency talk. There was
none of that came out of the parade.
Oh, no, afterwards. Steve Kerr. I mean, Steve Kerr's making news. Listen to this. Here's Steve Kerr. This is why you should have been there, because you missed news. Listen to this, Ray. Listen.
I think our roster will look a lot different next year. I think we'll have an infusion of youth, and I think it'll be good to have young, competitive, energetic guys. Some of them will be back, you know, guys like Quinn Cook and Jordan Bell, Damian Jones, and we're hoping to get Looney and Patrick McCaw back. We'll have a draft pick and maybe sign a couple of vets, but the roster being younger next year will help us get through the regular season.
That's news. That's news.
When they do it, not when they talk about it.
But the fact that they're saying this team's going to be different next year.
The team was different this year.
How so?
Jordan Bell.
Oh.
Every team
is going to be bigger. It's going to be more than that, right?
Kevon Looney made an impact finally. That's different. I mean, every team is a little bit different. Now, if this turns out to be true and all of a sudden there are four or five veterans missing, then you've got a case. But saying this team's going to be different and making it different are two different things. And I'm not saying he's wrong, and I'm not trying to claim that I know more than him. All I'm saying is it's news when it happens, not when somebody talks about it happening.
They're probably going to use that mid-level exception to get somebody, right?
I would assume.
For Nick Young.
What's the point of having it if you're not going to use it?
That's true. Hey, how long do you think this thing's going to last, Ray? I mean, is this the greatest team you've ever seen in the Bay Area?
No. It's the most impactful.
How does this compare to when the 49ers got it rolling?
Well, the one 49er team that was, you know, at least in this argument, was the 84 team that went 18-1. They basically ran the table on the entire National Football League. For sustained excellence, this is the best team. But if you're just saying 1 year, that's probably still the best. And if the Warriors had closed the deal in 16, that probably would have been the best. But, you know, I've said before they're winning the title next year away from being a genuine dynasty with the three or four best in NBA history. As it is, they're far better positioned than anybody else to sustain what they've got. Everybody else is scrambling yet again to try to figure out if they can get close.
When I moved here in 90, Ray, I thought it was a 49ers town by far. Thought they were the kings. I thought in the maybe around 2005 with a new ballpark, it became the Giants. Is there a sports team that owns the Bay Area right now? Is it the Warriors?
They are now because they're the hot item on the menu. But if every team was winning a championship at the same time,
yeah,
it's probably still 49er town.
Really? Even though?
Only because there's more of them than anything else. There's more 49er fans than anything else. And football, sadly, is still the most important sport in America. I mean, it's also the one that deserves to be brought down a peg or 12. But, I mean, yes, that's just the nature of it. I mean, don't forget when the Giants were good, 49ers weren't.
Right.
You know, and then Harbaugh started to get it rolling, and then it became an even fight. But, you know, they hadn't won a championship. But if every team, and again, you can't have two football teams win a championship at the same time, but if every team in the Bay Area was playing for a championship at the same time, I think there would be more 49er fans than anybody else.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. The Warriors win their third title in 4 years. Yesterday was the parade. Fun times. We're here. Here's what we got going today. Well, we got Ratto here.
Yeah, that's hot.
We also have we're going to replay an interview with Steph Curry that we had yesterday. We're going to do that at 11 o'clock. Steph Curry was in a good mood. Everybody was in a good mood yesterday.
Low bar to clear.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to start looking ahead a little bit, like what we are going to be seeing in next year's team. Durant's a free agent this year. Klay's a free agent next year. Draymond's a free agent the year after that. They got their mid-level exception. Where's LeBron James going to go? Is LeBron James going to try to make a move to change the balance of power? If the Warriors come back with the exact same team, pretty much, with a couple tinkers, is that going to be enough to win another title? There's a lot to talk about, and we're going to be talking about it all day. What do you want to do now? You want to take a break, or do you want to
I don't
take
run
a
the
call?
Show. I'm just here today.
I don't. You're distracting me a little bit because it seems like you're not paying attention.
I can multitask. I don't. What do you want to do? It's your show. Your name's on it.
I'd like you to stop taking notes. What are you doing? You're working on stats over there.
What do you want to do with this show?
This is a big show for me because people say that I treat Guru worse than I treat you.
No, nobody.
And they think I'm afraid of you, so I got to come after you today a little bit.
Oh, really? You think that's a high percentage move?
We shall see.
Bring your lunch.
957-9570.
Now, back to Steinmetz and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
How many songs do you think Ratto can name? I bet he knows that one. I bet he knows this one right now.
Neil Young.
Told you. Guru wouldn't have known that, Ray. In fact,
born 60 years ago.
In fact, I've told him it's Neil Young 18 times, and he still doesn't know it's
Why
Neil
would
Young.
Neil Young mean anything to him? Young wasn't a... wasn't a big name when he was alive.
Well, okay. Let's say I'm going to use James Brown. James Brown. I'm familiar with James Brown.
Yes, because he performed when you were alive.
No, he didn't.
Really? How old are you? 12?
Billie Holiday. All right, Billie Holiday. How about her?
Name a song by Billie Holiday.
She did a lot of covers.
Yeah, thanks. Music is like everything else. It's generational.
Okay,
remember what you choose to remember.
Elvis Presley.
Okay, name five songs by him.
Please. Blue Hawaii.
Oh, God. Stop talking.
Isn't it?
America Speaks as one. They want you to stop. Figure out something else.
Blue Suede Shoes. Right?
I can't. I'm appalled, and believe me, that's a standard that I rarely meet.
All right, everybody. The Warriors have won their... I love this show. This is going to be a fun one. I'm going to be the guy who cheers up Ray Ratto. Ray.
Yeah, good luck with that.
No, Ray, I'm telling you. We're in the middle of a dynasty right here, and you're fortunate enough to cover it. And I think it's a day to take stock. It's a day to tip our hat to Lacob, to Bob Myers, to the players, to the Bay Area too. I'm gonna get serious here for a second, Ray. When the Warriors have gone on this little run the last 4 or 5 years, all right, three titles in 4 years, isn't there a part of you that says I feel really good for the longtime Golden State Warrior fan who suffered through decades of non-success? Do you feel at least some happiness for them?
No.
Why?
Well, I mean, because it's not my happiness does not impact them in any way.
But
it doesn't.
Does it make you a little more gleeful about life?
No.
What?
It's an interesting thing. It's fun to watch. I mean, they are changing basketball. That means they're an epical team. But in terms of what my opinion is of this greater phenomenon or how it affects other people has no bearing at all.
Well, of course it does. If the people around you are more happy than normal,
then I allow them to be happy.
That rubs off on you.
How about you stop telling me how I do stuff? No, I.
But what makes you happy?
You shutting up, for one.
All right, well, let's see if Oscar can make you happy. Oscar in Concord. What's going on, Oscar?
How's it going, guys? Well, I just want to comment a little bit about the parade yesterday because I was there. And I can speak for not all Warrior fans, but for at least a very good chunk, because I was obviously surrounded by fans. And me and my sister got there by 7:30 a.m. to make sure that we had a nice spot so we could hopefully, you know, see some players and maybe shake some hands, and along with everyone else. And although I still enjoyed my time, I had a great time. I had fun seeing everyone, you know, passing by and stuff. I was just hoping that I was going to get a little bit more interaction with, like, players and coaches and, you know, just everyone in general. And when they were coming by, I noticed that everyone was still on their buses and they looked kind of tired, or, you know, they were just kind of chilling, doing their thing. And at first I didn't mind, honestly, but then I got home and I saw the replay of the parade that was on from like 8 to 1 a.m. And then I was like, damn, the first half of the parade was lit. Like, all the players were getting off the buses. They're all saying hi to all the fans. It was like a party.
Right.
And then, like, you know, the second half of the parade was just, hi, you know, hi, everyone. We're kind of tired, you know, things like that. Or who knows, maybe they were told to stop going down because they were getting so lit.
Gotcha.
With everyone. And
so what you're saying is that the people at the front of the parade maybe got more interaction than people at the back of the parade.
No, they got way more interaction. Okay. I was there, and then I saw the parade at home. They for sure got way more interaction.
All right.
That was the only thing I felt down about.
Fair enough. That's fair enough, Oscar. Appreciate it.
Five hours is a long time, though. Let's be fair.
I mean, it's really not 5 hours.
Well,
I mean, it started at 11. It's probably over 12:30. Then they came, did some interviews and stuff like that. I think.
Well, then what was he watching for 5 hours? Because I don't even know how long it lasted.
People were hanging around for a while. I mean, obviously, it's a parade. I mean, look, Joe Lacob decided to downsize a little bit the parade.
Okay.
And
I understand why.
There wasn't a culmination at a big stage where everybody talked. And quite frankly, I thought that lasted too long last year. But you wouldn't know. I mean, did you watch of it, Ray?
I didn't. Why is it important that I conform to the greater hive mind on this?
Well, it would have been nice to get somebody in here who knew what I was talking about.
I can leave if that's going to be a problem.
Don't you dare.
No, I I'm not trying to, you know, blow my nose on anybody else's fun. That just isn't something I enjoy doing, so I don't do it. That's all.
All right.
I'm not imposing my will on anybody else.
No, I get you, and I hear what the caller said. I do think that they may have been told, hey, chill out, because I guess Curry was running into the crowd, Clay did. And I guess there's security risks there, Ray.
I suppose. I mean, but there would have been security risks last year. There would have been security risks 3 years ago.
That's true.
I mean, I think maybe some of it, at least, or maybe at least a little bit of it, was the flap they had with the city about the cost of the parade.
I think that had a lot to do with it.
Okay, well, there you go then.
Let's go to Pat in Martinez. Pat wants to talk to you, Ray. What's up, Pat? Talk to Ray.
Hi, guys. Ray, legendary high school basketball official. One of the best I ever had. I was a high school coach for many years. You were awesome. I was really disappointed you weren't there, because the guy and the gal that were on the booth for your other employer, they're not really Warrior fans. You can say you're not a Warrior fan. You're a Warrior fan. You're an institution.
No, I'm not.
Right?
You're wrong.
Tell the old guy.
No, you're wrong. I simply have failed to
die. Oh, I'm absolutely right, Ray. 100%.
Don't question me.
Thanks, Pat.
Certainly not about me.
Thank you, Pat.
I'm an expert on me. I know where I sit with me.
Hey, Ray, I wouldn't mind talking about your officiating career.
I would.
Why?
Because nobody else cares. On a day like
this... Can we make it about officiating and then we'll take you out of it?
There hasn't been a game in 5 days.
Ray.
Let's
look. I would say you and I are very passionate about officiating.
Why are you trying to deny people what they want to talk about?
Well, what do they
which
want
is
to talk
either
about?
The parade
you just said it was
or
my show.
What comes next. Okay. But you're trying to involve something no one cares about. I'm looking after you here.
Ray, don't you think the officiating in the NBA Finals was very good?
It was outstanding. Couldn't have been better. Game one was exemplary. Now can we move on?
Yes. Let's go to Dave and Martinez. Dave wants to talk about the future. What's up, Dave? How you doing, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, the parade was phenomenal. I even got a nice little spray shower from Clay Thompson. That was really great.
Sweet.
Ray, I want to pick your – oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Ray, I want to pick your brain here for a little bit. So, you know, it's just phenomenal with what Joe Lacob's done with the Warriors here. I know I'm probably living in some kind of a fantasy world, but any chance he could, like, I don't know, purchase the A's and purchase the Sharks and try to get us a Stanley Cup and another A's World Series? I mean, is that even remotely possible?
Let's start with the A's.
He has access to money. I don't think he has enough money on his own to do that unless he wanted to sell some equity in the Warriors, which would not be, I think, a prudent thing for him to do. But he isn't the one that made this all happen. All right, he inherits Curry. So that's one. Two, this is a basketball thing. Joe Lacob gets a lot of credit, A, for not insisting on his own way when the discussion was about getting Kevin Love or Dwight Howard. Most owners would just simply say, I want him, make it happen. I mean, he gets credit for that. He's run a very good business. The team's worth about 6 times what it was when he bought it. But this is a basketball story, and it's about basketball people. And his credit comes in knowing that this team is worth 6 times what it used to be, and that he hasn't gotten so mega involved that he's starting to sort of challenge people who are smarter than him at the one thing he wants them to be smarter at, which is basketball. He gets full credit for that. But this is a more organic development than just him. He couldn't buy the A's tomorrow and all of a sudden make them an immediate winner. They inherited a team that was on the come. They made it better with some judicious drafting. To the extent that you want to give him credit for Durant, go right ahead. He does think big when a lot of other owners, you know, might want to squeeze a nickel here or there. I mean, I'm not trying to criticize him in any way, but what the Warriors have done is a basketball story. And from that, everything else springs.
See, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here a little bit. I think bringing in Jerry West was a piece of this puzzle. I think making the decision to trade Monte Ellis instead of Steph Curry was a move that clearly paved the way for this. I mean, there could have been mistakes made along the line.
No, there could have been. They've made very few errors. I mean, that's not in dispute, but this is a collaborative thing. And it has to be considered that way. Otherwise, this makes no sense. Because Joe Lacob is not the only brain in the room. And he has this good sense to defer to the people on the basketball side who know more than he does.
You know what,
Ray?
That's
a fact.
You know what, though, Ray? I'm going to say it. He knows a lot about basketball, man. He does.
Do you want him to be the smartest guy in the basketball operation?
No,
okay,
of course not. But
that's all I'm saying.
Okay, I'm going to just...
Okay, you're trying to pick a fight now?
Okay, Jeremy Lin. That was all Joe Lacob. Joe Lacob said, I think Jeremy Lin can play in the NBA, and everybody laughed at him.
Okay.
Jeremy Lin turns out to be a pretty good NBA player. That was all Joe Lacob, the owner. If they would have brought Jeremy Lin in and he never would have made it, people would be laughing at Joe Lacob thinking he knows basketball. He knows something.
And I didn't say he didn't. I'm just saying that he knows when to defer. And that's the most important thing an owner can do when he's talking about the team that he owns. He knows when not to insist on his own wants. I mean, look, they could have had Kevin Love and not had Draymond Green or Klay Thompson. He was pushing for Kevin Love, but he listened when the other people in the room said that's really not a good idea. He gets credit for that. When he was infatuated with Dwight Howard and he got talked off the ledge there, he gets credit for being talked off the ledge, because a lot of owners wouldn't tolerate that. They would decide they were the smartest guy in the room. They would vote their stock, and the Warrior team would have no parades instead of three. To me, what an owner doesn't do can often be as important as what he does. And the fact that he's got a big ego like anybody does, but he has not yet insisted on getting full credit for what has been a collaborative ensemble piece. That's to his credit, not to his detriment.
Let's go to Sports Radamos in Concord. He wants to talk some Warriors off-season moves. What's going on, man?
Yeah, man, Sports Radamos here for all your future prophecies on the Warriors.
I didn't know we were getting a shtick, but all right, let's go. What do you want them to do? What do you think they're going to do?
I think what you guys are saying is correct. He's got to get credit for not being Jerry Jones, essentially, and pushing the team the way he wants to go. We got to understand that we can't be emotional about this. Like you said, like you guys are talking about, Draymond Green is wanting that Supermax if he gets emotional with the players coming and going. I don't think that they need to give Durant a no-trade clause. And the Iguodala contract, there's been a lot of, you know, a decent conversation about where we're going with that. They have an infatuation with Anthony Davis, and I think that if you traded Draymond Green, who you know is going to want to opt out or is talking about it, and the Iguodala contract either this offseason or next offseason, they get 2 years of Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala. We get three of Anthony Davis, and we can move forward from the situation that we're in. Also, drafting somebody like Garrison Allen from Duke. Grayson Allen from Duke can also be something that you have a catch-and-shoot guy off the bench for your first couple of years, like you have Klay Thompson on the court starting now.
All right. I got you. I don't think anybody's going to want Andre Iguodala. That's just me. Here's another thing you got to give Lake. Well, go ahead and respond to that.
Because
there seem to be a lot of people that say, well, let's move Iguodala to get somebody great.
When he said the situation we're in, he made it sound like they'd lost in the first round. The situation that they're in is they've won three of the last four titles, and every other team in basketball is either trying to figure out how to catch them within 2 years or tanking so they might be able to catch them in five. That's a hell of a good situation to be in. Secondly, what do you think it would take to get somebody like Anthony Davis?
One of your four guys?
Maybe two.
Maybe. But I think Lacob would do that.
He might be talked out of it again.
It's true.
Because, look, Anthony Davis is one of the greatest players in the NBA. There's no disputing that. But which of the two top four guys would you give up for him right now?
Well, it has to be Klay and Draymond.
You're willing to do that?
I'm not saying I'm willing to do it, but it's clear if they got to keep two, it's going to be Curry and Durant.
Okay, well, my point is, if you're not willing to do Thompson and Green, then Anthony Davis is not available, and you live with that. You know, they're going to remake at the edges. They're not going to take anything out of the core. And I mean,
okay, let me ask you this.
The only way that Thompson or Green leave, it seems to me, in the next 2 years is if they decide to sign somewhere else. Because I don't think you can get value for either of them. Would you trade, if you were New Orleans, would you trade Anthony Davis straight up for either of those guys?
No.
You'd want both of them.
Yes.
And the Warriors would be foolish to let both of them go at this stage in their careers.
But Lacob's already said, you know, the system's not built
to pay four guys like he's paying them. That's why I think, again, Clay's up next year. People think, okay, we're just going to pay him a ton. Draymond the next year, pay him a ton. At some point, you reach the limit.
Well, yeah, but that means a guy is going to walk. But I think you don't do that now, and you don't do that, you know, to the extent that you would have to get somebody like Anthony Davis. And the only reason to do that would be to get a guy like that. I think it's a tail chase. You know, if you really want that guy, you have to give up too much. But if you don't want to give up too much, you don't get that guy. So you're fine where you are right now. In 2 years, it's a different discussion. But right now, Anthony Davis is not available to him. And you have to be okay with that.
Let's go to David in Hayward. What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just wanted to chime in and share my experience at the parade yesterday.
Listen, Ray, listen.
I showed up. I rode my bike to BART, took BART. Then I got over there, realized my people that I was meeting up with were on the other side, so I had to go all the way around the lake and got there. But other than that, it was great. One thing I wanted to say with our experience there, because we had some of our little cousins with us, is we had a basketball from the championship year. I believe it was 2015 or 2017 championship. It was my cousin's ball, and he was trying to get a sign. He's like, man, I really want to get a sign for him. I'm like, all right, let's try to do it. So we got the little kids up in the front with the ball screaming, trying to get the ball signed. Sean Livingston's bus grabbed it but didn't sign it. All good, we understand. And then Jordan Bell was walking around. We almost had him to sign it. It wouldn't have mattered because he wasn't on that team that year, but it would have been cool. And then,
you got to cut to the chase. Did anybody put their signature on that thing?
Yeah, I'm getting there. And finally, that last bus, it was Draymond Green's bus. And, man, we were shouting and screaming, and one of his guys on the bus was like, throw me the ball. We threw him the ball, threw him a Sharpie. They drove down. My cousin followed the bus running down. Draymond signed it, threw it back. People were jumping for the ball. My cousin grabbed it, stripped it. And, man, he came back with the biggest smile on his face.
Oh, man.
Said, thank you, Draymond. Thank you. And he was just like, and I was like, man, that's Draymond right there.
And hey, David, and thank you for sharing that story. That's what I'm talking about, Ray. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You can't tell me you listen to David talk about his youngsters trying to get a ball signed, struggling. They persevere. Then they get that autograph, and the kids are on cloud nine. You cannot tell me that doesn't warm your heart to some degree.
What if somebody else got the ball? Then the whole story's ruined.
But they didn't. It's like, what if the right fielder in Parenthood would have dropped the ball? Steve Martin's kid. But he caught it.
That's a movie.
You like that movie?
Not really. No.
That's a funny movie. I like it.
Not that funny.
That's pretty good, though. It's pretty good, though.
Why are you arguing with me about my taste?
How about the guy who's wanted to get into hydroponics, and they asked him some details, and he goes, that's for the guys in the white jackets. Yeah, what a funny line, wasn't it? Or how about when the grandma was giving him advice, and then Mary Steenburgen said, I think it's beautiful. She's very smart. And he said, well, then why is she sitting in the neighbor's car? Remember that? That's a funny line, don't you think?
You're making me consider heroin.
Don't do that. I think you can get physically addicted one time after you do. That's the one you want to stay away from, right?
There are a lot you want to stay away from.
All right.
But listening to you tell me what movies I should like is also tedious.
888-957-950. I'm going to also run down a list of some things that Joe Lacob has done that have worked out like gold.
Steinmetz and Guru continues on 95.7, The Game.
Matt Steinmetz with Ray Ratto today. Daryl the Guru Johnson with a day off. And Ray Ratto's here talking Warriors, talking parade. You got something to say? You look poised.
When you stop talking, I will speak.
All right, I'm done.
Okay. Hello.
We're talking about Joe Lacob a little bit.
Yeah.
And how about this? The firing of Mark Jackson and the subsequent hiring of Steve Kerr was pure genius. And that was mostly him.
Well, it wasn't pure genius at the time that it happened. They didn't fire Mark Jackson because they thought they had a fast track to Steve Kerr and that they knew what they were going to get from Kerr. They fired Mark Jackson because Mark Jackson made the fatal mistake of picking a fight with the guy who pays him. That's really what happened there. And that had been building for a while. And this was before anybody knew that Steve Kerr was going to be in play. The fact that he was able to talk Kerr out of going to New York, that's not genius either. That's persistence, and persistence is good. And I think at this point, neither Lacob nor Kerr would do anything but hit their knees every day, thanking God that Lacob was persistent. But I don't think either of those things were quote, genius. They weren't thought so out of the box that no one could conceive of them. I mean, he'd had enough of Jackson. He was fed up. And let's face it, he hired him. So, you know, if you're going to give him credit for firing him, you have to point out that he's the one who brought him in.
Well, I mean, he brought him in, helped turn it around, and then he hired the next guy who could take him to the next level.
Okay, but that wasn't the plan.
No, but the bottom line is he hired a coach with no experience.
He's hired two.
Well, that's my point. He hires Mark Jackson, no experience. Jackson's there for 3 years. He gets the Warriors into the playoffs. He fires Jackson, and now everybody's thinking, okay, he's going to hire the guy who's going to bring this team a championship. Mostly, he's going to obviously hire somebody with experience. And then he goes right out and hires somebody with absolutely no experience. I mean, nobody thought he was going to do that.
No, but Lacob also didn't think that Kerr was going to come in and revolutionize basketball.
True.
I mean, there's an element of luck in this, too. And luck is good, too. I mean, when people were talking about how the 15 Warriors were lucky, the Warriors had the right responses. Okay, we were lucky. We still got a ring. Luck is good. Luck is not bad. Luck is not something you apologize for.
Coming up in 8 minutes, we're going to replay an interview with Steph Curry from yesterday, right after the parade. It's a fun time talking to Steph. George in San Leandro wants to pose a question regarding a move to San Francisco. What's up, George? How you doing, man? Or is
hey, Matt,
it Gio?
Ray,
Gio.
Thanks very much. Yeah, thank sure. you. It is Gio. Okay. Quick question for you guys. I am enjoying the war success. I've been a fan since I was a little kid and getting the real cheap tickets on to see the Lakers because the Warriors were so poor in the 70s and 80s. But here's the question. I think everything has a shelf life, and it's just time that takes their toll on these great players. Moving forward, do you anticipate kind of the same scenario that the Niners went through when they moved from Candlestick out to Santa Clara, where the team may not be as great as they were, and the fan base will start to die out in the new arena they have in the city?
Thanks a lot, Gio. Ray, what's that?
Well, if the Warriors bottom out the way the 49ers did, if Lacob is now picking fights with the basketball people that he's not picking fights with now, yeah, it could bottom out, sure. But the 49ers collapse was, you know, don't forget this. The genesis of that was the battle between Jed York and Trent Baalke on one side and Jim Harbaugh on the other. It was a marriage of people who ultimately were not going to get along. I mean, and they butted heads after year two. And eventually, yeah, it all blew up on them. But I don't know that moving to the new stadium was nearly as impactful as the fight they had. If they go to San Francisco and all of a sudden Lacob and Bob Myers and Steve Kerr are screaming at each other all the time or trying to figure out ways to annoy each other, yeah, it could bottom out. I don't think that will happen because I don't think any of those three people are nearly as impetuous as York, Baalke, and Harbaugh were. I don't think it's the same kind of chemistry. I don't think it's the same kind of marriage. So, I mean, when the Warriors bottom out, and they will because every team does, I think it's far more likely that they will simply become either unaffordable or too old, like most teams.
Well, let's say they don't let's say the reason that the Warriors decline is just because of age.
Okay, let's say that.
Let's say they win it next year.
Okay.
And now they're going into the new arena.
Yep.
And that first year, they make the playoffs, get to the Western Conference Finals, but the next year they go 45-37. Make the playoffs as a 7 or 8 seed.
Yeah.
How will the arena in San Francisco differ from if that happened at Oracle Arena?
I think it would be a softer ticket just because what they were going to charge try to pay for that arena is going to be astronomical. And I think they'll be punished for that because they're charging prices right now in Oakland that are only sustainable when you have a team like this, because you will have people who want to keep going and going and going no matter what the cost is. But they're not going to pay that plus 35% to see a team finish 7th and lose in the first round of Portland. You know, at that point, the ticket becomes soft, which is why the new arena is going to have to pay for itself in other ways. You know, by, you know, concerts, conventions, all the other things that arenas have to do to generate enough money to not only stay afloat, but stay a cash cow. In the short term, they'll make more money than they can count. In the long term, the arena's viability will be dependent not on the Warriors, but on everything that they can put in there on the 320 nights when the Warriors aren't playing.
And that's what Levi Stadium's doing with what they're going to have some World Cup games there in 2026, right?
Yeah.
And Taylor Swift.
Well, the national championship college football
right.
is there this year. I mean,
right.
No, that's how arenas and stadiums make money. It's not just the one team that's your principal tenant. It's all the other stuff. You have to keep the lights on. That's the deal.
Let's go to Idris in Hayward. What's up, Idris? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, Steiny Ray? Always a pleasure. So I got a two-part question for you guys. First question on the left, I didn't get to listen too much, but what were your guys' thoughts on LeBron James coming out with a broken cast after the sweep? And on a side note, I was thinking, Steiny, Isaiah Thomas, Dwayne Wade, D. Rose, Jay Crowder, they got rid of this whole team, and I'm pretty sure they signed off with LeBron because I heard about, oh, LeBron didn't have any help, and he didn't. But imagine that roster against this Warriors team. The Warriors still would have won, but I'm just curious how you thought that would have played out. And on the second half, I think this Warriors dynasty, the issues are going to happen the second we lose. Everybody's winning right now, so people are kind of just waiting until next year. But I think the second we have a Titanic, and we lose, however we lose, I think that's when Draymond or Klay or KD is going to jump ship. I'll take it off the air. Love listening to you guys. It's a pleasure, Ray.
Well, I think it's less likely that Durant would jump ship than either Green or Thompson, only because Durant has given every indication, not only that he wants to stay here for the short term, but that his end game is not basketball. His end game is being an entrepreneur, and there are few places on the planet where entrepreneurship is more rewarded and money for that entrepreneurship is more available than in Silicon Valley. I think part of the reason he came here was because of that. And, you know, when he gave the quote the other day about how he's not obsessed with championships, what he was saying was, I have things I want to do and be after basketball. So I think he's going to stay here for the long haul. And if it means he retires, you know, 2 years before his sell-by date, then maybe he does that. I think Green and Thompson are more likely to go just because at some point someone's going to offer them the contract they can't refuse and that the Warriors can't afford to pay.
Well, that's another great thing about Lacob, how he kind of married himself to Silicon Valley to give the destination that much more oomph.
Well, I think it was one of the selling points for Iguodala, who to this day, say whatever else you want about him, he was the first free agent to actively choose to play in Oakland and say, that's where I want to be, not that's where the most money is, or that's the last turkey in the shop. It's he wanted to be in Oakland, and that's part of the reason. And so for players with that kind of sort of bias to their future, you know, Oakland or San Francisco, they're equivalent.
David Lee.
Is he going to be an entrepreneur on that level, do you think?
No, but I mean, he was technically a sign and trade, but he was like a free agent signing. And Danny Fortson.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.